It's hard to know where to start with the question, what does an anti-racist institution look like? I get tongue and mind tied because there's just so much to say in case with the exhaustion with what to say. Do you start with the entwined foundations of capitalism and racism? Or the power dynamics of a department meeting? In the summer of 2022, this question hung like a forest canopy over the first two knowledge exchange workshops organized by C. Van London and Innova, the first of which I attended, that were held by artist Jack Key Tan. Spiriting artistic thinking at an intersection between law and governance, these workshops were shaped by Jack's poetic ability to ground, prod, and mold cogent and compassionate spaces for institutional and self-reflexivity. These workshops and their culmination into the report, Arriva Report, a knowledge exchange report on anti-racism and equity in the visual arts, are informed by new materialist perspectives on how, quote, systems are not created through resolving the differences, but by manifesting and holding differences together as multiple entangled truths, end quote. As well as Sylvia Winter's parsing of how epistemology, or knowledge-making, is constructed in the image of the European man. In particular, how, quote, rational and linear thinking has been used as a way to justify and fortify colonial oppression. One of the underlying dimensions of this report is understanding racism and inequality through experience, and anti-racism through embodied actions over proclamations, also known as institutional doublespeak. At one point during the first Zoom session, there was a long, saturated pause. It was in response to Jack's request to contemplate the kinds of structures we need within our respective organizations and the sector to resource change that would, in turn, be reported back to the Arts Council of England. It felt important to allow the virtual room to sit in this tensely tactile silence. It seemed like a collective loss for words that Jack invoked as encountering the sublime of racism. Not unlike encountering the sublime of nature, how I've typically heard the term used, racism can hold a quality of infinity because of how complex, overwhelming, and unending it is. It causes a form of aporia, a sense of dense internal contradiction and impenetrability, literally, lack of passage or porousness, that can't be superseded, sidestepped, or sublimated through cleverness, smarts, or tact. Transcendence requires a real shift in consciousness and internal transformation. Jack noted, quote, I feel as an artist that the way to navigate is to create. Within aesthetic theory, you only get through the aporia through creation, not invention. How you come through a storm at sea, metaphorically, is not to insist on sailing the ship in the normal way. Maybe it is not even the same ship, and maybe you become a submarine instead, end quote. In other more vocal moments, participants describe the viney, entangled professional and emotional environments and hostile bureaucratic systems that impede even being able to imagine, let alone have time to imagine, a model for an anti-racist organization. The reality of this limited capacity to imagine also sits behind lofty, institutionalized acknowledgments of histories of racism and injustice by arts institutions in the last few years. If done at all, acknowledgments can be more about underlying fragility and defensive postures within existing systems than structural change. Co-optive and opportunistic tendencies to appear anti-racist and willing before racist and inequitable. It's like having an action plan before recognizing and reckoning with the conditions of the status quo. It's saying something to fill in the discomfort of a pause. The pervasive racism and inequity in the art sector is entrenched in seemingly innocuous workplace everydayness. This everydayness contains normalized cultures of uninterrupted productivity to meet funding criteria, knowledge through the framework of categories, calculation, and deliverables, and the trappings of bureaucratic processes and thresholds we consistently need to engage with in order to enter into or exist within the sector as an artist or arts worker. Jack writes in a section on context that art institutions evaluate most activities through a, quote, sensibility of audit, end quote, that feels, quote, incompatible with the inherent humanity of our daily work, end quote. In this way, the, quote, over-reliance on a numeric, statistical mode of justification for arts organizations is indicative of a culture that feels like a return to utilitarianism, being, quote, value for money, or doing more for less, and funding fixed outcomes rather than outcomes that emerge from processes, end quote. Underlying this outcome-based value system is the precarity of being undervalued, grossly underpaid, and just exhausted with contingent living. For more information on this, see Structurally Fucked Report on the State of Artists' Pay, published by Industria and AN, the Artists' Information Company. In imagining an anti-racist model, we are asking ourselves to learn to rehearse what it looks and feels like to refuse the very foundations and systems of doing and knowing that are absorbed into the muscle memory of not only organizations, but ourselves. In the report, some of the forces that limit institutional change and interpersonal relationships are identified: teleology, exclusion, precarity, language, white fragility allyship, power, lines of accountability, neo-utilitarianism, and neoliberalism. In a section on data, verbatim dialogue drawn from workshop participants is transmuted into poetry that Jack has woven into his own verses of informed intuitions and reflections. The brevity of the poetic form, the flexibility and resonance of this approach, give the words a kind of flight they may not have otherwise, as, quote, words transcending functionality as social research data, end quote. The following are a couple of examples. Quote, it's very hard to have these conversations when you're trying to keep up with your sort of day-to-day workload. And it's hard to speak when you are out of breath, trying to keep in step with the pace of the crowd. You end up communicating without conversing, vocalizing without articulating. End quote. And another, quote, but there is no such thing as talk. There's only talk do. And there's no such thing as thought. There's only thought do. End quote. Following this is a series of performance scores for organizational meetings, HR, and governance, inspired by Yoko Ono's book Grapefruit, that he calls Jackfruit, a nod to where the artist is from and, though unmentioned, his namesake. These performance scores are a series of enactments that can be practiced as ways to unsettle power dynamics and workplace habits that feel deep, bodily, and playful. On the page, they appear as gentle and brief provocations that in practice incite profound shifts in office rituals. Like this one. Quote, office move. Move your head of office or director's office to a different location for a month. Do this consecutively for 3 months, end quote. I tried to imagine this in my own previous hierarchical work and study environments, and the fact that it felt both comedic and impossible just made the complacency with the kinds of spatial and interpersonal relations even more disturbing. It feels necessary and also limiting to call this lively and enlivened document a report because of how porous, emergent, and poetic it is. It just goes to show, more artists should be entrusted with imagining the structures of art's labor that recede into the background of daily work life. It's also necessary as a report because we should transform our expectations and experiences around typical forms of organizational report making. You know, the audit-like, chart-like, yes-no-answer-like, corporate, market, impact-driven, X and Y-axis-like sense of reporting we've come to expect and perhaps numbly distrust. But also, the report format as a concept is limiting because of these very same existing expectations around form and prescription. Whatever this document is, it invites the imagining of new languages for organizing and, quote, manifestations of new relationships, emergent states, and collective will, end quote, that feels like braiding lines of solidarity as well as accountability in ways that begin with consciousness over form. Pause. During an evening launch event and panel discussion for the Arriva Report at UCL East's brand new campus, the lights in the room kept turning off. Each time they turned off, one of the organizers would get up and program them to turn on again. It seemed like the lights were pre-programmed to turn off after a certain period or time of day, likely a high-tech and intelligent feature of the new campus operating system. I felt a strange sense of relief with the unexpected darkness. There was something about the lights turning off and how it immediately shifted the mood in the room. Panel discussions, in their usual form, contain very clear physical and psychic boundaries between speakers and the audience. Boundaries that are neutralized but also tensely felt, at least for me. There are processional formalities, courtesies, and tones of voice. Speakers take turns, and there's a certain manner, sequence, and method of talking that we all recognize and replicate time and again in the art sector or otherwise. But when the lights kept turning off unexpectedly, people giggled, sighed, moved, or started chatting amongst themselves. This overarching technical programming that manifested as a glitch seemed to perforate the boundaries to highlight the pervasiveness of how form dictates the logic of sharing. How much of knowledge is about fitting a form? How much of anti-racism in arts organizations is about trying to find a gap between breaking and fitting into an existing form? When it was Jack's turn to speak, he did not continue the continuum of the panel discussion, but rather ruptured it and raised himself from his seat, stepped forward, and introduced what he was going to do. He had decided to read out and physically gesture parts of the data poetry section from the report. The emotional energy of the room shifted again, not unlike knowing whether the room would be light or dark. The resonance of the poetry was palpable, like feeling reciprocity in the body. Moments of emotional rupture can make visible the roles we are playing and remind us of the difference between listening and hearing, reading and internalizing. It's feeling how form enshrines the limits of how we come to know and imagine. Quote, criteria is a way of choosing. Choosing is a way of seeing. Seeing is a way of worlding. Worlding is a way of structuring. Structuring is a way of seeing and not seeing. Seeing not seeing is an aesthetics of criteria. It is something a bit like capitalism, or something we are all subjected to. The further up the food chain you get, the more resistance there is. But when you're talking about the breakdowns, there is actually a sense of horrible release. Do let us destroy the pyramid. End quote.